It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Sal Capaccio getting ready for a regular old game week. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe with you. Beautiful day out there today. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. You're a pretty busy person. I know football season means you get a lot busier. I challenge you, though, to do more than Bill Belichick will be doing couple of weeks. Uh-oh. They've just added another. So he's going to be a strategic advisor with the 33rd team. He's on Pat McAfee once a week. He's on the Manning Cast during the first half of games. Weekly Friday show with Peyton Manning. An analyst on Inside the NFL. His own football show on Underdog Fantasy. And he'll join Jim Gray for Let's Go on SiriusXM this season. So
seven things.
Belichick has more going on than anybody.
So, I mean, people always often say to me that I'm like the busiest guy in like in Buffalo media, and it's fine, but I think that that would probably be more than I do. I will tell you that. And I'll tell you, I think the thing is about Belichick, I think it's strategic for him to get back into coaching. That's what this is. It's probably him and his agent saying, look, they thought he was going to be a coach this year, head coach, break the all-time wins record, didn't wind up getting a job, got passed over. I think he wants that record. I think he wants to ingratiate himself and stay in the league as best as possible, be front and center as much as possible, not go away, not be out of sight, out of mind. And I think he wants a job next year. I think this is strategic.
For sure. And, you know, I think a lot of football fans would say that he can coach, but his overall, whatever, persona or what people think of him as a person is like some sourpuss guy. Mm-hmm. And I bet that changes in the next year.
Oh, I agree. I mean, listen, we all three of us have said like we think he'd be great as an analyst because we know that away from like being on a podium, he's always been good at this stuff, right? He's been good at explaining football and talking about football. If you watch some of the documentaries, he's really, really good on like the two Bills and things like that. And then look at Nick Saban, his good buddy. Nick Saban's amazing on the College Game Day set, right? He's so different than McAfee and the other people on there, but he's great. And what did he say? Did you guys see the first couple weeks ago in Dublin? They did that, and he goes, Nick Saban said, you know, I spent my entire career accosting people who would make predictions and analyze everything we're doing, and now I have to do it. This is my gig, and it's hard. That's what he said.
There's that part of it. The other part of it, Sal, is like for the job that Belichick and Saban used to have, it was they forced me to talk to you people, and I don't want to tell you anything. And now my job is, oh, I'm getting paid to tell you things that I think. Like, that's much easier. I don't have to hide anything if I work for Fox, you know?
No, that's right. That's right. So it'll be interesting. You know, there's so many different ways, as we all know. That's what we all do. Like, we all have all these different outlets and ways that we talk to people and different shows and podcasts and video casts. You know, and everybody's I saw the other day, I'm watching College Game Day and Johnny Manziel is on there. And they're like, oh, he's launching this new podcast. It seems like everybody's launching something, something new all the time. So, I mean, we also live in an era where it's so much, you know, easier to kind of be able to create that. And hey, when you have a name like Bill Belichick and you're the all-time winningest coach, someone's going to pay you to do things like this. And, you know, I don't blame him for doing all this stuff, especially if he wants to get back into coaching. I'm the number one, you know, Belichick isn't as great as everybody says he is all the time guy. But, I mean, he's still an unbelievable coach, obviously. And I think he's going to be really good in this role.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. We've got the opener tomorrow, and then I'm just seeing Packers and Eagles, like the 12-hour travel plan. It is the time zone's not going to be an issue for them. They fly out 10 a.m. on Wednesday. They get there around 10 p.m. So it's a one-hour time difference. Major, major undertaking for the NFL. The reason I bring it up is I saw, Sal, it's my first injury report I've seen this year. The Eagles have already ruled a player out for this game, linebacker Devin White.
Yeah, Devin White.
So we have injury reports and would expect those come from the Bills today, yes?
Yes, Wednesday before a Sunday game. So I believe the Chiefs' first injury report came out a couple days ago as well, Chiefs and Ravens. Now you're seeing, because you know you back it up, they play Thursday. Obviously, Packers, Eagles play Friday. And then for all the Sunday games, including the Bills, obviously, we'll get our first injury report of the season. So what that will look like, I'm not sure. The team practices at 12:30 p.m., but we will hear from Sean McDermott. He'll give us you'll probably know the injury report before they get on the field, to be quite honest, before we know it. Like, now, just do things change? Yeah, we've had that where Sean will say a guy might not practice and then he does, or he's going to be limited and then he's wind up full. Those things can happen. But my guess is we'll get a little bit, you know, clarity from McDermott himself at noon today on the status of several guys who we've been monitoring over the last few weeks.
What guys are on that list? Like, we had some week to weeks, but outside of Milano, the names we're really charting are?
I think the safeties first and foremost, guys. Mike Edwards, Cole Bishop, they were training in the right direction, obviously. That was really good. We'll see, you know, what they're able to do today. I think at wide receiver, Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Curtis Samuel. Obviously, Curtis Samuel with the turf toe, that's a big one to monitor. So I think those are the guys you're really kind of looking at and seeing, you know, where are they? Bail Inspector, you know, that's a storyline because of the tentacle of Joe Andreessen. Bail Inspector isn't completely ready to go. Does Joe Andreessen step up as the main backup middle linebacker, or is that Nicholas Morrow anyway? I mean, that all is, you know, wrapped into one big part of that. Taron Johnson also, that's a sneaky one. Taron Johnson did not practice a day last week. Now, it didn't seem like there's anything necessarily really wrong. He had missed a day, and they said they were holding him out for a, you know, he had soreness. He had a quad injury, but it wasn't serious. But then he didn't practice the next day either. So that's one we'll monitor today, too.
In terms of guys, though, that are in threat of missing, like, does it feel like, Sal, that they actually, you know, guys are going to have bumps and bruises, but we might be headed towards actually a favorable injury report for week one, where there's not really that many guys where you're like that concerned will actually not play in the game.
Yeah, no surprise from me, Joe. I've been saying this for weeks, which is, listen, the Bills, they know what they're doing here. They've had this. Now, granted, you can't do anything about a long-term injury like Matt Milano. But once they started to get some banged up guys, they started to play the long game. And that's what they do every year. It seems like every year, now maybe there were a few more this year than normal, I'm not disputing that, but it seems like every year we get to a point, some point in training camp, some point in preseason, when it's like, oh my God, look at all these injuries, what are they going to do? And then when you get to week one, you're like, oh yeah, these guys are all playing. And I think the Bills kind of maybe just had to start doing that a little bit earlier with a few more people this year than normal. But generally, you get to Sunday of week one, and, you know, and by the way, real quick before you ask your next question, the other one we're going to be monitoring big time is Mitch Trubisky, because that will obviously impact what happens at backup quarterback. You hope that it never has to play, but obviously with the numbers and the roster gymnastics and everything that goes along with it.
I was just going to say, like you mentioned gymnastics, Sal, should a restructuring of Epinesa and was it, who else, Daquan Jones?
Daquan Jones, yeah.
Could that be an indicator that maybe Trubisky is an issue because they have to spend more money on the roster? I saw that restructuring of those two deals and thought, it's such a modest amount of money. I don't expect it to be used on like, oh, this means you're going to go get somebody. I know they were very, very tight to the cap and they're going to need some flexibility. And I wonder if, you know, any sort of these decisions we're talking about here are tied into that.
They very well could. I will tell you this. I don't know if that specifically, that very well could be it, Jeremy. But that big picture is probably why they did the restructure, which is, I'll tell you, over the last several years, the Bills have been tight against the cap. They spend the cap pretty much. And at some point, they do a restructure or two, even during the season, because they have to have money available for injury replacement costs. That's what happens. So maybe it's possible. Sure, they're looking at it and going, okay, Trubisky, Mike White, do we have to kind of elevate Mike White? That's, you know, another game check. What are we going to do here? That could very well be the case, that they're kind of being proactive right now to get ahead of that, or because they see it happening week one. But I would look at those restructures in general and just say injury replacement costs, they happen throughout the year. The Bills do this every year at some point in the year because they have to have a little bit more money for IR and guys that they have to go up and down.
So we got a depth chart from the Bills yesterday, unofficial depth chart. I think I've seen all teams in the league are doing this. Going back to the injury point a little bit, if all safeties are available to play on Sunday, do you feel like it's just kind of wide open? Do you feel like Hamlin being listed to start as a starter is meaningful at all? Do you think you have a good sense of what they would do, or is it kind of completely up in the air?
I don't know how much stock I take into it. I think, you know, you can depth charts can be a lot of things, right? Nobody has to stick to a depth chart, right? It's just kind of what you put on paper to kind of give you an overall feel. Sure, you know, you want to give media and fans an idea of who's starting, and you can look at certain things, and obviously you know who's going to be starting in certain positions. I think when it comes to a position like that, you've had some injuries. You have a guy that's been with you for a while, DeMar Hamlin, putting him as the starting safety. Sure, I mean, we'll be watching that. We'll see that. But also, I mean, maybe because Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop just are still ramping up, and maybe DeMar Hamlin is on the field, you know, the first play of the game. I'm not going to go too far into reading to it. I also wouldn't discount the fact that maybe DeMar Hamlin gets the majority of the snaps at safety next to Taylor Rapp in game number one. I mean, let's remember, and I've said this to you guys, and you know this, they have a game 5 days after the first game, right? I mean, Mike Edwards and Cole Bishop might be in a business position where, yeah, they're getting better, they're able to play. But if they go out there and have any kind of tweak or setback whatsoever, you're losing them for a key road game 5 days later. So you might need to go and say, okay, let's just manage these guys. It's load management for them at this point. That could also be a reason why, hey, DeMar is actually our starter right now until these guys get back into it. I don't read that much into it, to be quite honest with you, because I think those guys have the ability to rotate and they can put them in a lot of different ways and shapes and forms. I also don't discount the fact that maybe we come out of this game and maybe DeMar Hamlin has, you know, majority of snaps at safety, yeah, compared to them.
Do you think we'll hear an announcement on something like that? Maybe position matters here? Because if you correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like I remember last year they announced that Terrell Bernard was going to start at middle linebacker before the game. And I don't know, again, if middle linebacker has to be different for this, but do you think, like, when McDermott speaks today that we might hear him actually announce who will start?
I don't know about announce. Someone may ask, and he may, like, you know, if that's what your question, like, he might answer a question related to that. I don't think he'll go out there and just voluntarily tell her, but he could. I'm wondering, I'm thinking about the Terrell Bernard thing you just said. Did that happen during the week last year, or did that happen, like, right before the game? I don't remember. Like, did we find out, like, was it a Friday, you know, on with Extra Points Show? I'm not positive. Yeah. But let's remember, too, we kind of had no idea who was starting at middle linebacker for a while there. And Terrell Bernard had been hurt. He had been working his way back. And he hadn't been, it's like a new position, you know, the guy. I guess it's a little bit similar, right, mm-hmm, in that regard. I guess from what you're saying, there's no doubt. Maybe, Joe. I mean, it's possible. He may reveal to us, you know, what the plan is there. Or he probably more than likely would say, like, hey, we're still working through that. All those guys, you know, we're going to see who's available and, you know, what they can do.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Okay, so the timeline for today, one more time, is
12 p.m. McDermott, 12:30 p.m. practice today, and media can watch stretching and individual work. This is regular season rules now, and then, you know, we can't watch the rest of practice. But then we talk to players, and generally, Josh Allen speaks on a Wednesday after practice. And I don't know, I would guess maybe Terrell, a middle linebacker, like it was, you know, Tremaine for years, and they usually put a few of the main guys, a couple of the main guys, Wednesday speak to the media. But we'll see what happens today. But generally, Josh, that's his day to talk to the media.
All right, very good.
Do we think maybe captains today, Sal?
Gotta be.
Wouldn't be surprised at all. I think generally that's when it happens. I was thinking about this because all these other teams had been naming their captains over the last week or so. And people are asking me, when are the Bills? I think generally we do get it like the day of, like today, the day of the first real practice, the first week, the game week. So, mm-hmm, you know, we'll see. And, you know, you go back a few years, the Bills have had like 8 captains at one point. They've had 6. I don't know how many they're going to have, but, you know, I wouldn't doubt if that happens today.
Who feels like a sure thing to you? I mean, Allen will be a captain, but everybody else is pretty much different. Like Dawkins has been a captain before.
I think he feels like a sure thing to me.
Yep. I'm wondering even about like maybe Knox and Taron Johnson, mm-hmm, like some of these guys that have been around. I'm wondering even South, like a Mac Hollins might be named a captain, even though he's new. I mean, isn't he kind of the veteran leader of that room?
Yeah, that's a good question. I wouldn't be stunned. Could Khalil Shakir in his third year, maybe? You know, he's his third year in Buffalo. He could be a guy. You know, Khalil is a is a leader. Like, I will tell you, like, he's a guy who's always accountable. He's always at his locker. You know, those are the kind of guys I think that, you know, you gravitate to sometimes. And yeah, it's not taking anything away from Matt Collins and what your point is. Hmm. But that could happen. What about Von Miller? Like, is he in a position? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what his role would be.
He was last year.
Right, right. Yeah. So I don't know there. Guys like Epinesa and Rousseau. Rousseau's going into his... There's a lot of guys you could choose that could be that guy. Rasul Douglas, I think, you know, in his... You know, in the secondary. I'm looking at... hold on. Special teams. Reed Ferguson, usually, right? Reed Ferguson. I think we've had I think we've had punters and kickers and long snappers. I think it's generally Reed Ferguson, though. I wouldn't be surprised if he is again.
All right. Well, Sal, we'll be listening, waiting for updates later on today. Thanks again.
All right, you guys got it. Thank you.
Zach and Josh have the Extra Point Show as Sal covers practice today down at One Bills Drive. We have... You've got something else? I've got golf news I can pass along. Okay.
Yeah, I have.
We both want the golf news?
The golf news. I just saw another tidbit. Are you deep into your rookie wide receiver, Jermaine Burton? Did you see the thing about Jermaine Burton?
I did not. You want to stay there first?
Yeah, let's real quick. That. Jermaine Burton. This is from Paul Denner, who covers the Bengals for The Athletic. He writes about Burton. Bengals won't put Burton out there or even make him active on game day until they feel comfortable he's preparing in meetings, will be in the right spots, and can be trusted by the quarterback. Sounds far more likely a redshirt year lies ahead than anything else.
So there was the thing about Jermaine Burton. He's a guy, was the 10th receiver taken? No, Adonai Mitchell was the 10th receiver taken.
Like 11th or 12th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Burton was said to be a top 10 pick talent, but...
His head wasn't on the
right. Not he'd have been tagged with like character preparation something. There were red flags about him.
Yeah,
in their preseason game, I don't know if you remember seeing this clip. Michaels and Herbstreit are talking about Burton and Kirk Herbstreit, or sorry, Tirico, Mike Tirico and Kirk Herbstreit. That's who it would have been, right?
Yes,
I think. No,
Herbstreit does it with. Well, he does Amazon with Al Michaels, doesn't he?
Yeah. Okay. It was Herbstreit that said it.
Okay.
I don't know who he was with, so must have been Al Michaels.
Preseason's anyway. All over the place. He could have been with, I don't know.
Okay, so Herbstreit says about Burton, a lot of talent, lot of yada, 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 you know, just got to make sure he doesn't fall asleep in meetings. And when he said that, it was immediately, whoa, okay, you're Kirk Herbstreit, you're a college guy and a pro guy, where is this happening? Because it would make sense, like, oh, that's the story. He in Alabama, there are red flags about this guy. He falls. Maybe he's not the most committed. Blah blah blah. There's a lot of talent there, but
yeah,
this would lead you to believe, or at least confirm, that oh no, that's happening with Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah. The beat, one of the beat guys for the Bengals is basically saying, I mean, isn't he kind of saying the Bengals don't feel comfortable that he's preparing in meetings?
Yes.
Redshirt year for a guy that. Wasn't all the – anytime you saw him on social media, receiver from Alabama last year, Jermaine Burton, anytime you saw his name on social media, it was, this dude is making crazy plays in practice, or he's getting open down the field in the preseason. Like, it was all good. It was all rosy.
Yeah.
And now it's just the Bengals think he's maybe all the character stuff is true. Or still happening, at least.
The Broncos have signed Patrick Surtain to the junior to a extension. 4 years, $96 million. He's the highest paid defensive back in NFL history. There's a little bit of a thing to watch here on corners. I mean, Surtain gets this big deal. Why are they so far behind receivers? Why are the top corners 15 million behind the top receivers? Now with Surtain's AAV gets to be about 24 million a year.
Yeah.
And Justin Jefferson is what, 36?
36.
So they're still like two thirds of the way there. To where the top receivers are. Patrick Surtain, one of the best corners in football. You know, Sauce Gardner will get a big deal when the time comes for him.
Yep.
So a four-year extension, Patrick Surtain in Denver.
We had a week, right, talking about him, didn't we, for the Bills?
A little bit.
His name was popping up in the trade rumor mill at some point last year.
Yeah, right there with Jalen Johnson, who did sign with the Bears, and then they ultimately trade for Rasul Douglas. So there you go.
Would the Bills have had $96 million to give him if they had done that?
Probably, I mean, sure. I mean, the year one of the cap, it could be $4 million.
Okay, that's right. Yeah. So, anyways, the golf news.
The golf news: Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, Bryson DeChambeau, and Brooks Koepka will face off in a TV event, like the match.
It's the match.
It's the match.
It's gonna be on TNT,
and it's TNT in Vegas. Rory and Scheffler, DeChambeau, and Koepka.
So. That thing has become kind of like the Winter Classic for me. Cool, early on, like I'll watch, way too many of them lost track. This one, though, might get me back. Right?
The best thing they could do.
This is way better than, hey, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are playing Kelce and Mahomes today.
Agree. The best thing they can do is mic up DeChambeau. I know you, I told you, if you find your way to Bryson DeChambeau on Twitter or TikTok, whatever.
His YouTube channel.
Anywhere.
It was for me.
The
yeah.
more you see of Bryson just on the game of golf doing goofy stuff, the more you're going to like him.
Yep.
He's super likable. And if they mic him up and he's just playing around a golf, I mean, the thing about DeChambeau that I just think was so cool is when he won the U.S. Open, he was signing autographs in between holes and talking to the gallery. Like, he's not one to get so locked in that he needs that. So mic him up for this match, I think it'd be great. It's funny. Like, DeChambeau has gone from, you know, sideshow to joke to major champion to really well-liked. And for this foursome, I mean, it's Scheffler, the best golfer in the world, Rory, one of the more popular guys, Koepka, great player, and DeChambeau. Like, the guy that gets me to the television the most on this show is probably DeChambeau. I'm into it. I'll watch this. December yeah. on TNT.
Yep.
Okay.
The appeal,
can I tell you?
Even though I don't think it'll play out this way, the appeal on the surface, on paper, would be that it's PGA versus LIV, isn't it?
That's right. I got one more question for you. What's the course? Because
is it that course they played by the strip?
The win?
Yeah, though that's the one that Allen played at.
Yeah. I would say there's one of the other problems. Played at a course people know.
Pebble.
That's tough in December, but I know.
Okay,
your point is not lost. Like, you know,
Sawgrass or
play it somewhere. Yeah. Play it at Sawgrass. Play it at a course that people know.
Yeah,
and I think that would help because just it's December and I'm watching desert golf. Like, there's a little bit of a detachment from that. If I could get these players and get a course where, you know, you're playing, not Augusta, they wouldn't do that. But sure, Pebble's a good example.
Pinehurst would be too cold.
Whatever,
then, probably.
Kiowa,
so, yeah, somewhere south.
Somewhere.
That people know.
Play somewhere that you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. DeChambeau and Koepka on the same team, by the way. How far we've come on those two.
Yeah.
There was a stretch where they were like mortal enemies. And now they're going to be riding in a cart together, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Playing against Scheffler and Rory. I'm interested to hear Rory mic'd up, too, because Rory's been interesting. I mean, he's been, I don't know what to make of him the last year, even. Like, he got into a Tiger, right, on some stuff, and there was him behind the scenes with a couple of PGA guys, and then he had the blow up at the U.S. Open, but then he's also got, like, these other cool moments. Like, I don't know. Rory is also, all of them had cool years, I think.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Except Koepka. Koepka didn't do anything I've heard of in, like, 14 months.
It is fall golf season.
Yes.
Great time of year. We'll get a break in 803-0550. We'll update our Twitter poll on which side of the ball you're more eager to see in the opener. Who do you want to see? And it's offense or defense. We've also got the, I've got a new prediction here, AFC East predictions. NFL Game Day crew predicts the winner of the AFC East. All right. Let's do it. Let's do that. We're getting lots of Bills wild card picks. More than since they lost the game in Houston in the playoffs to Deshaun Watson. Bills to the wild card, a popular pick. We should start making the list. I don't think it's nuts. I'm just excited for the season. Let's bring it on. Let's step into the stress.
Just to go full circle on something I brought up with Sal, I just looked it up. It was the Wednesday before the opener last year. Sean McDermott named Terrell Bernard the starter.
Okay.
So at noon today, we might hear him say who the starting safety is. Opposite of Taylor Rapp.
Stay tuned.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We had some guys played their butts off tonight, and we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things, about not finishing when you have an opponent in a position to put them away. But what we're doing on the sideline is feeling like the game's over. And I'm so angry about it that I got to do something about it. I'm not doing a good enough job as a coach. I got to coach them better. Because it's unacceptable for us not to have found a way to win this football game. It's ridiculous. It's crazy.
Brian Kelly, head coach, LSU. Let's think about college football. You have a game between two good teams early. Somebody's going to lose. And LSU's not dead in the water.
No.
A lot of season left. It used to be you might be dead in the water if you lose early.
Yeah.
Now 12 teams make the playoffs.
Florida State's dead in the water. I saw they're the... special circumstance, right? Because they played two week one games, but they're the first team in AP poll history to be ranked in the top 10 and then be unranked in the second AP poll. They are they were unranked in the one that came out yesterday, but again, kind of unique because they played two games and lost them both. No Syracuse love, huh? In the rankings?
Not yet.
They play, though, don't they play Georgia Tech this week? And they're ranked. Against, they're 23rd. Yeah, Georgia Tech is ranked 23rd.
Kirk
Herbstreit. That's Syracuse on Saturday.
I saw Kirk Herbstreit's like top players, 10 players that impressed week one. Kyle McCord made the list. So did Teterola McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona.
All right.
Travis Hunter. The Travis Hunter, what position will he play?
He's smart. I was reading about that again today.
Boy, if he's smart, he play receiver. Like, and end of story.
Yeah, for the money, you should play receiver.
Not just the money, you're a bigger star.
Yep.
Everything about it. Isn't playing receiver a lot more fun than playing defensive back?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it depends on your... He might want to play both sides, but the business decision, you make 33% more money, maybe more than that, playing receiver. It's much more a glamour position. Sure, you get called the diva. But
I did read another story yesterday that Deion Sanders is telling him you can do both in the NFL. So I wonder if he'll actually explore that. I saw Chris Trapasso this morning also. Very interesting situation. Trapasso, and I think a couple others are like, he's just so good at both. It's hard to pick. Just based on his talent, it feels like it's kind of even. He's one of the best corners in the 2025 class. He's one of the best receivers in the 2025 class. So if he's going to pick one or the other, I think he should pick receiver. Although, here's where if he wants to do a little of one and do full-time at the other... Wouldn't you think then he would be a full-time corner? Because what's more rotational? Receiver. You might think, hey, if I want to do a little of both, I could play the full-time corner, and I could play I could do certain packages on offense. Patrick Peterson did packages on offense when he got to the NFL in his first 2 years. So I wonder if that enters the equation is, if I play receiver, I'm probably not playing any corner. If I play corner... I'm probably still going to be in the mix at wide receiver.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. The NFL, which crew is this? I just saw. We have division winners. Who's going to win the AFC East? I'm going to get names and picks for you here.
Okay.
Ready? This is the crew of NFL Game Day.
Okay.
Rich Eisen. Rich Eisen picks.
The Chiefs.
Dolphins. No, the AFC East.
Oh, sorry. AFC East. Dolphins.
Dolphins. Steve Mariucci.
Bills.
Dolphins. Kurt Warner.
Jets.
Jets. And then who's the fourth guy on this? NFL Game Day crew.
It's not like, real. Is it Nate Burleson?
Yeah. Yes.
Or Nate, right. Nate Washington?
That might be right.
They're both in the media. No, Burleson's on to Good Morning America now, I think. Nate Washington, maybe? Did you pick the Bills?
I'm looking for the pictures and the bios. I don't know everybody here on this broadcast. I watch Good Morning Football a little bit more. It's Bills. No, I'm sorry. It's Jets.
So none of them picked the Bills?
None of them.
I mean, is it... It's supposed to be a tough division, right? Is this a good division? Is this a great division?
Okay, I thought that, and then I saw... Oh, just I forget who it was. I apologize. Somebody ranking like most difficult divisions to win, and they had the AFC East as fourth.
Okay, as in it wasn't like
the,
one
the
of the
hardest
three
division to win.
Okay, it was fourth out of eight.
The number one they had was the AFC North.
Okay,
four good teams.
I agree with that.
Number two might have been NFC West.
Okay, four good teams and one juggernaut at the top.
Number two was NFC North.
Okay, that's three really good teams
and the Vikings.
Vikings are favored on the road in week one.
Okay. I mean, like, they're not the Patriots.
Right, anyway, they're not the Patriots.
None of those divisions have the Patriots. And if you look at the NFC West, their worst team is Arizona, maybe.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's a tough division because of the top three, but there is the fourth there are not four contenders, there are three.
And I mean the Bills have questions, right? The Bills have a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bills have questions, the Jets have questions, the Dolphins none of them are really... Are any of the three that solid? Like, in the NFC North... AFC North, excuse me. If Burrow's healthy... I know it's a question, but if Burrow's healthy, Bengals are going to be fine. And the Ravens are probably going to be fine. Like, you've got two mainstays where, like, those two teams are going to be great. They don't have as many questions. The AFC East, I feel like the top three, you have more doubters about all three, I would say, than those other divisions. Because I have them about the Jets and the Dolphins, and I recognize them about... Like, I would pick the Bills to win the division, but I'm not on solid footing about the Bills in general. But I still feel like they'll win the division because I just don't trust the other two teams.
Yeah.
Jets are getting Super Bowl picks, by the way. I'm seeing this morning, too. And not just from Mike Greenberg, who is definitely picking the Jets to win the Super Bowl. I don't even know if he's done it yet, but I could just tell you he's probably picked the Jets to win the Super Bowl somewhere.
I saw he picked Aaron Rodgers was the player going to make a statement week one. So, yeah, he's on brand. It's, you know, it's fine.
Yep.
College games this week?
There's one big one. At least one big one. Two top 10 teams. You got Michigan and Texas. Although Michigan did not look good in their first game, I guess, even though they won.
No, not super impressive.
All right, I guess they don't have a quarterback anymore, right? That's the big thing about them.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another big one?
Syracuse, Georgia Tech, you already said. Tennessee is at NC State. Those are two top 25 teams. And that's about it. For ranked opponents and all that.
So today's our last day without like a big sporting event for another week.
Yeah. And then we're in the thick of it.
Yep.
The good stuff.
There's no Premier League game today?
No.
That's good. That starts at some point, though, doesn't it? And we get a Wednesday Premier League game, or is it Thursdays? There's a midweek Premier League game at some point. Not yet.
Hey, soon hockey. A month?
Yeah. You asked about Krebs earlier. Like, is that about to be the lamest holdout ever? If he's not signed, like, is he going to sit out or what? Like, I don't know who's got leverage there. I mean, it's such a minor player at this point. Is he even in the lineup game one, if he's signed?
I wonder what Lindy thinks of Krebs. Doesn't everything have to go through the what does Lindy think of this player now? Like, if Lindy thought enough of him...
But does Lindy know what he has? Does Lindy want to see them on the ice first before he makes a determination?
He would scout him and see his game and watch film and think, like, my system, how I'm going to use this. You know, what does Lindy think of Krebs? If Lindy thinks he's an important piece, don't they get it done? You can't be asking for that much. You can't be that far apart.
Does he think there's
The Sabres certainly have the room to do it.
Yeah. Should they... Is there a motivation to want to make that work? Wasn't there a motivation to make it work with Tage Thompson?
Yes.
Because he was the main piece of an O'Reilly trade?
Yes.
And Krebs was the main young player.
Yeah, but he's not the main piece. The main piece was Tuck, and that worked. So, like, wouldn't there be less exposure on that deal?
Because Tuck exists.
Yeah. But I get what you're saying.
But he was still a big part. He was the number one prospect on that team. He was a valuable piece in the biggest trade they've made in decades, maybe. So would there be a motivation to, hey, can we salvage this? Can we make him into something that's valuable so that that trade looks even better on us? Because right now, I mean, it looked great at the start because Tuck had better numbers than Eichel did for like the first year and a half that they played. But then Eichel, you know, of course, got healthy, took off, and won the Stanley Cup. So I don't know. Maybe they don't care. Maybe they don't care. But it seemed like they cared about Thompson, making Thompson work. And that did.
Seeing this from the 33rd team moments ago, that a new contract for Patrick Sertan. Here are the dollar totals. For second contracts for Alabama players on the 2018 Alabama Crimson Tide.
Okay.
Ready?
Did that team win the national championship?
Hurts and Tua, yeah.
Okay, yep.
255, 212, 48, 75, 84, 52, 96, 92, 96, 97, 67. Those are all millions. That's how much money that team is making in the NFL.
Wow.
On their second contracts.
Uh-huh. I mean, should that be as good as any college team has ever put out? Is that even better than the LSU team that everyone says is like the best college football team they've seen in 20 years?
803-0550. We'll get another break in Extendo Sports on the way. Zach and Josh have you for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Expecting to hear Bills captains announced today. Sean McDermott meets with the media at 12, practice at 12:30. So here we are in a game week, getting ready for Bills Cardinals, injury updates, injury report, all of it coming up on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here, guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Okay. Extendo Sports. Another beautiful day today. That's exciting. Love beautiful days. Who doesn't love a beautiful day?
As long as it's not too hot, which we do not have that problem.
No.
Right now. Yahoo has put out their NFL predictions. What do the Bills get here? Charles Robinson votes the Bills for biggest disappointment.
Oof.
Nate Tice votes Allen for MVP. Wow, this you'll like this. Offensive player of the year. Charles Robinson, Jory Epstein, Charles McDonald, Nate Tice, Frank Schwab. All vote for Bijan Robinson.
Let's go.
For offensive player of the year. No other Bills on this list. Who gets the number one pick? Three of the five take New England. One takes the Giants. And then Charles McDonald picks Washington to finish dead last. And then Super Bowl picks. Three pick the Chiefs. One picks the Packers over the Chiefs, and then our only non-Chiefs Super Bowl is from Frank Schwab, who picks Lions over Jets.
All right. You want more? Listen, if you're someone that likes it when people fade the Bills, this is your dream come true. So here's one. Charting the odds. This is NFL analytics and prediction betting models, NFELO. app.com, whatever. Charting what the odds were. This is kind of like charting Howard picks the Bills, okay?
Yeah.
Like Brayton did this. Howard picked the Bills 10-7 in April, 10-7 in July, 10-7 in September.
Yeah.
However, opening odds to win the Super Bowl on February 17th, okay, the Bills were at plus 1,000 and implied 7% chance to win the Super Bowl. Okay?
Yep.
By post-free agency, they were still plus 1,000. Post-draft, plus 1,200. Now, plus 1,600 on this one website. The point is, it charted the top five that gained betting odds and lost.
Yeah.
The Bills are the number one team in the AFC in odds lost. People fading them. Is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah.
In the betting markets. The Bills have been faded more than any other AFC team by a percentage. That doesn't mean they're the lowest. You know, like the Chargers are crazy long shots, of course.
Sure.
But the Bills have been faded the most. It's a little bit like the underrated, overrated. What team has gained the most since the end of last season to the start of the season? What AFC team? I'm sorry, it's AFC and NFC.
To the Jets?
It's the Chiefs. It's the Chiefs. They have gained the most in terms of...
What did they open at?
650.
And now they're at...
500. A 3% implied probability of winning the Super Bowl.
Should I bet them just so I'm not as miserable when they inevitably win it again?
Nah. Football season tomorrow. We'll get our thrilling three-way parlay.
Yes.
We'll talk with Sean Stepner, WMAR in Baltimore, see if this year's Ravens team can get their revenge on the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Lamar losing weight.
I was trying to see if there's any sort of like...
Tua lost weight, too.
He did. NFL kickoff. Like, who's performing? Not Taylor Swift. Who's performing at this game? Is there a musical act?
Okay. Shouldn't there be one on Friday, too?
Usually there are
in
shows.
Brazil.
NFL kickoff concert. Yeah, the latest I've got is from 2022.
Okay, nothing for this year?
I was trying to find if anybody's... You know, what is happening? Biggest ever four-day event. They're including the NFL kickoff weekend as Brazil.
Oh, no, never mind. I have it from who performed at the AFC Championship game. But that is not this game. T-Pain was the one who did that.
Isn't he a Dolphins fan?
T-Pain?
Yeah. Didn't he perform the Miami Dolphins song?
Did he?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we get the shout song?
Miami Dolphins fight song by T-Pain. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. Coco Jones will do the national anthem in this game. The flyover will be conducted by the 509th Bomb Squadron's B-2 Stealth Bomber. No, you know why? Because I think instead of a concert, what we're getting is the Chiefs ring ceremony.
Cool. Remember, Joe, that's good. You think it's good that they keep winning.
Hunt family will be joined on the field by special alumni guests to celebrate Kansas City's fourth Lombardi Trophy before the new banner is revealed and the 2024 season gets underway. Fourth Lombardi Trophy. Is that right?
Yeah, they won 3 out of 4.
But why are they saying fourth Lombardi Trophy? Did they win one before?
No.
So this is a typo.
Wait. Did they win Super Bowl V or...
Did they?
I don't think so.
They lost...
This is too old for
to
me.
To Namath. Are you sure? They lost to Namath.
Namath beat the Colts.
Okay, you're right. Oh, wait, so maybe they did win.
They won Super Bowl IV.
They won Super Bowl... Okay,
yeah, I said five, it was four. Yeah.
I was thinking of Super Bowl I, Len Dawson with a cigarette at halftime.
Fans going to the inaugural game at Pitbull Stadium for FIU in Central Michigan to get a commemorative Pitbull pin. It's a picture of the stadium, and Pitbull is on it.
Okay.
This thing should be worth $1 million. All right, that's it. We're back tomorrow to kick off the NFL season with the Ravens and the Chiefs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.